This is URN.
Celsius limit for the first time, says scientist. Researcher says there's a 66% chance that we'll pass this global warming threshold between now and 2027. The chances are rising due to emissions from human activities and a likely El Nino weather pattern later this year. So, you know, I'll need to get someone to translate that in a minute.
It means the boy.
The boy?
Yeah. So we can chat about this later, but I love a good old explanation of El Nino and El Niña weather patterns. This is exactly what I want about. It got me my geography GCSE. I'm the expert.
So going over 1.5 degrees Celsius every year for a decade or two could see far greater impacts of warming, such as longer heat waves, more intense storms, and wildfires. So, as a wake-up call, do you think it will do anything? Do you think it will work? What do you think about it? Are you a fan of global warming, the panel? We have to be balanced now, so...
Get your sunnies out, everyone. Global warming's happening. Yeah, no.
I don't know, because I just think there's been so many warnings over the years, and I don't know, there's not enough... I feel there's not enough sort of cooperation from the world. Like, to be fair, like, whatever you say about... what the government's done when it comes to climate, I think there has been an effort to try and reduce the emissions. But the problem is the UK, I think. I'm sure I've seen in the past it's like accounts something like 1% of global emissions. Well, even if we really cut down and we try and do our bit, I do think we should be cutting emissions. Ultimately, if countries like China don't do the same, then we're going to have this problem where we can't keep to the targets of limiting global warming that we've set. So I think it is a worry, but unfortunately I don't think it's going to make much difference because it hasn't done before.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I think one thing that I have seen more in the news is like more science, like climate scientists trying to encourage people to take action, in the sense that, like, as you're saying, there isn't loads that we can do, but there's still things that governments can do, and like more international efforts. And that I think a lot of the time in the news there's a lot of kind of quite cynical responses to global warming, of kind of like, we're too late, we can't do anything, we've already passed this criteria, and so on. But what global scientists are saying is that, like, for, you know, every tiny amount of that we can save the temperature, or like stop it from rising further, is worth saving. So we do need to still do things. So I think I think there's more effort that governments and like international bodies could be putting in.
And as Rachel, the as self-confessed geography girly, how can you describe us what El Nino is?
So basically, get your textbooks out, everyone. So an El Niño basically means, it's Spanish for the boy, fun fact. It's basically where the trade winds. So, like, I'm not actually too sure how trade winds work. I have to be completely honest.
Like the wind, the prevailing wind, like the westerly wind.
Yeah.
Britain, I don't know.
I know, so... basically the earth has like loads of like basic wind patterns. So like you have like Hadley cell, you have all the trade winds and all that kind of stuff. It's just like, I don't really know how the wind is there, it's just there, and we love it, we love a bit of wind. And so with an El Nino, the trade winds, it kind of blows more towards the east, causing in the like this like in like Pacific countries, it causes the like the sea to raise like 0.5 degrees centigrade over like the traditional average. So in like a lot of like the east, like the Pacific based countries in the world, it makes it a lot colder than for us, because like it's blowing more towards the east, it makes the winters a lot colder, and like I think it makes summers hotter, but I don't actually, like, the winters are definitely colder, which is why we've had such a cold winter this year. Like, we've had record low temperatures. And then the complete opposite of an El Nino is a La Niña, which is Spanish for little girl. Fun fact for you guys at home. Like,
makes sense.
I know, right? And so that is just like the complete opposite. We had that back in 2020. And so that's where like winters get hotter. I think summers are slightly cooler, slightly wetter. And so because we're in El Nino, we can expect like, I think, a slightly hotter summer as well. Or maybe, yeah. I think I'll fact check, but it's slightly hotter summer. Which, you know, as I said, get your sunnies out. Get a nice little ice lolly.
Hot girl summer.
Literally a boiling hot girl summer.
I think I only recognised one phrase in that entire description from my GCSE geography days, which I remember the Hadley cell.
Yeah, I remember the Hadley cell.
I remember doing like tropical storms and stuff. What's it like, 26 degrees or is it 36 degrees that what? It has to be I don't know. I digress.
It has to be 26 degrees.
Excellent.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my it makes my 9 in geography feel ill deserved.
I only got an 8.
Clearly.
I didn't even do geography GCSE, so
educating the masses on geography, Rachel.
You're welcome. Yeah, have me on the podcast with geography things.
It's interesting because I think Ali's outside and he's doing a geography degree, but we couldn't get him on. So
hi, Ali.
But yeah, no, I think it's quite clear that somebody deserves 9 more than I did.
It's me. They're talking about me.
Yeah. Obviously. There's this, I mean, going back to the topic, there's this disgusting graph. Not like, it's a good graph, it's a well-illustrated graph, but what it's showing is disgusting in the sense of how the world's been getting warmer in terms of change in annual global temperature from pre-industrial levels in degrees C. Obviously, radio being an audio-only medium, you can't describe that, but just imagine a massive red triangular slope going up.
It's a good skiing slope. People can ski down it, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of graph.
Except in our case, you can't because all of the snow will have melted.
Yeah, there's a positive correlation, but it's really not positive.
Yeah. Not very positive correlation at all. And it says the likely impacts in the UK and elsewhere. The Arctic will experience warming at a greater level than many regions. Saying Northern Europe, including the UK, will likely experience increased rainfall from the May to September period over the next 5 years, the report says. Are we... So, pulse, quickfire, Wednesday weather opinions.
Oh, my gosh.
Hot summers, yes or no? What's your ideal summer weather?
Not that hot. I'll be honest, I'm a bit of a baby when it comes to really hot weather. We had the beast from the east a few years ago, and I'm like traumatised from that.
Really?
I realise
I sound like that Tim Messenger bloke from Hot Fuzz saying, "What's your ideal weekend?" as they're discussing, like, the death of some local businessman.
My ideal summer was probably like last year, but apart from the 2 days where it was like ridiculously intense.
The 18th, the Monday and Tuesday, the 18th and 19th of July.
I remember you remember the day.
How do you remember that?
I just think it is better for like everyone's mood and stuff if it is sunny and reasonably warm. As long as it's not ridiculously hot that you can't do anything, I think you feel better after a hot summer. But
how about you, Rachel? What do you think?
Well, set the scene, right? It's like, it's kind of like mid to beginning of July, right? You got no school on, you're having a lovely time, and the weather is at a crisp, like 27, 28 degrees centigrade. Like, it's a blue sky. There are some clouds in there, because blue sky is just, it scares me. I don't trust a completely blue sky. There are a few clouds in there. Cloud spotting's brilliant. Like, yeah, like the humidity is at a very, very low level, because I feel like British summers, unlike when you go abroad, I haven't really gone abroad that much, so I'm just speaking of what other people are saying. Like, I feel like British summers, when it gets hot, it gets very, like, oppressive. It's a sticky hot.
Yeah, I don't like humidity. Like, if it's dry heat, I much prefer it. But if it's humidity, it's horrible when it's all, like, making you sweaty and everything.
Like, you know, when you're getting out of the shower and, like, you're drying your hair and, like, it's the kind of air that's generated by, like, a hairdryer, with like Dyson hairdryers where there's just like blowing hot air. That is the exact weather I want, with like a partially sunny sky, a little bit of cloud in there, you know. I've thought about this answer a lot.
That's incredible.
No worries.
I do assure our listeners, we do not pre-brief our panelists on questions they may ask. We may ask them. I mean, I for one am personally not that much of a hot weather fan. I currently like the current weather. I like a bit more sunny than it currently is. But over the past couple of days, you know, shorts and t-shirts weather, but not too oppressive. Because I remember on Monday the 18th of July last year, when it was like, I think, 40 degrees or something, I find that in terms of actual feeling the temperature, there's not really much difference by the time you get into your like early to mid 30s. I think getting to 40 at that point just kind of feels the same. The only difference is it just the air is so thick. I remember going to a band practice on that day. I was going to my school, so 20 minute walk, had my bass on my back. And I opened the door, right? I hadn't gone outside because, I mean, why would I? And, you know, it just felt like a wall of heat. Mm-hmm. It was awful. It was so bad.
And then you take the base off the back and it's just a wall of sweat. Because anything on your back in that weather.
Thankfully, in the school I was rehearsing in question, the music block was one of the few departments that actually had air conditioning. So
interesting.
We had a really nice time. You know, it was nice and cool. It was great. And then on the Wednesday, my band played for the first time. It was fun. Anyway, cute. I digress. Yeah. It was good, sort of. But I also seem to remember that it took about a day for everyone's houses, the temperature inside, to, like, reset. Because I remember Wednesday evening and still feeling, like, heat emanating from my carpet. I was like, it hasn't been sunny. It's just rained and it's still, like, I feel like I've got a heated floor.
Yeah, I remember we had this, like, portable... It's like some old, I don't know where we got it from, but we had a portable aircon heater unit, and we tried to get it out to try and cool the room down in our house at home, and it just wouldn't cool it down because it was that weak, and it felt so I think my bedroom was something like 30 degrees or something, and I've never known it that warm ever.
Yeah, I feel like the UK just really isn't prepared for this kind of stuff because trains and infrastructure and stuff completely falls apart. We don't have any legal, we don't have anything in law about maximum working temperature for employees and stuff like the United States does.
And even with housing, they're all built out of brick, which is really poor.
We're really good at trapping heat. Yeah. Whereas if you go to obviously mainland Europe and you've got your kind of shutters and kind of hard floors and it's just a lot nicer.
On campus
and online,
this
is URN.